SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 3, this is Sports Rage. I am Morency. I'm going to share something with you that not a lot of people would. So if you watch this on the video stream, you see I have my hand. I sort of like, you know, it's like that, like, you know, the end of the week, I'm like, oh, God, like my hand, I'm rubbing my forehead. You know, I mean, it's like the, you know, it's like, oh, boy, I could use a drink. Although I'm not going to have one because we're ready to rock and roll college football. And we're going to be on live with Scotty Farrell on Sunday. But as I went back, I'm going to be honest, Matthias, I have only shaved, like, I've shaved my face and the side of my head. I haven't shaved the back of my head because I didn't have time. It's been a couple of days in a row where it's like, oh, man, I got to shave before the TV show, man, right? And I start and I look. I'm like, man, I'm on in like 3 minutes, right? I'm shaving. And I'm like, I don't have time to do the back, right? So, you know, I got to shave everything. I said to the side, I'm like, all right, no one's going to see the back anyways. It's like one of those deals, right, where you don't need to be wearing pants. So I don't see the back. But the problem is, bro, it's been a couple of times, man, where I've gone out and stuff. Like, I wanted to get a pizza the other night, right? There's a couple of hot girls standing, and I realized I'm standing there like an idiot with half my head shaved. Like, I got the front, the back. It's not a good fashion statement. It's not deliberate. So now every time I've been going out, it's been for like 2-3 days like this. Like I told you, this week has flown by, man, all right? So that's what it's come to. I've only been shaving where you can see me. And I went out early. I was like, oh, yeah, I got to put a hat on. Like, I look like a serial killer. I'm walking around a hat pulled all low. So in case you're wondering, bald people can have bad hair days too. Like, because I'm bald, but it'll still come back a little bit, right? You know, and there's nothing worse than that. If you're bald, you got to be bald. You got to go like the Jordan cue ball look. Can't, you know, you can't. If you're bald, you got to stay on top of it. Or you got to wear a hood. So I was wearing a hoodie for the last 2 days when I went out. I'm in my lobby and stuff, getting my mail. There's all these people around. I got the hood up and stuff and a hat. Like you can't see. I like to lay low. I like to lay low. All right, so yeah, we got Rob Vino going to be stepping up and in and kicking it with us. So as far as the NFL is concerned, I like the car. I'm going to do a video. We're going to post it on our Twitter. Sports Grid will post it. We got the Washington Commanders and the Detroit Lions. First game in a rotation. First time in 2 years. The Lions have been favorites. Dan Campbell's never been a favorite before. He wasn't there. The last time they were favorites, Matt Patricia was the coach and evidently lost that game, for the record. I don't trust them. I'd like to trust them. I want to trust them. I can't trust them. Like, I want to bet on the Lions. If I do, it's just out of fandom, even though I'm a Bills fan. But I got a soft spot in my heart for the Lions. Put the Lions in a teaser, because if they lose, they're not going to get blown out. They're going to lose in heartbreaking fashion. The Lions are 11. They were 11-6 last year ATS. They covered last week because they backdoored it. They don't quit. They can put points up on the board. The best bet in this game is the over. Take the over 48.5. I've got nothing for you for the Jets and the Browns. I don't care about that game. I hope the Jets win somehow because I got a win total with the Browns to the under, but I'm not panicking about that because the Browns have been playing bad teams and the schedule gets tougher in a couple of weeks. Let's do this thing. It's the Friday Night Freak Show. I am Gabe Morency. SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. The Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates that are still kicking it with us in the late night hours. Rob Vino is going to step up and in from Philadelphia. We're going to talk NFL football. We're going to talk college football. We've been pretty college heavy tonight. But we're going to get to the NFL. And speaking to the NFL, I'll throw it at you right now. The Detroit Lions have been their favorite for the first time in 2 years. I don't want any part of that. I love betting on the Detroit Lions when we're getting points. They're not getting points. Dan Campbell's never been a favorite before in his career. What I will bet in this football game is the over, 48.5. Expect both teams to go up and down the field. This game's going to be a track meet. It's going to be a shootout. The New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns. Next, that's as much as I'm going to talk about that football game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are getting 2.5 points. They're 7-1 against the spread in their last 8 games against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Alvin Kamara is now questionable, game time decision type of deal. Chris Godwin is out. You know, smash mouth football game, should be a lower scoring football game that I think New Orleans will find a way to win. Tampa is a very beat up team right now. New York Giants and the Carolina Panthers. Baker Mayfield and the Panthers roll in the MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The New York Giants have zero home field advantage over the years, but I think it's different. There's a new boss in town and his name is Brian Daboll, and we saw that last week in Tennessee. I think the New York Giants are going to win this football game. Give me the New York Giants on the money line at -126. The Patriots and the Steelers, complete toss-up. I lean Pittsburgh. Don't see any enough value to pull the trigger. Now that New England is -2.5, I could live with the Pittsburgh Steelers on a teaser up to 9.5. One of the best bets of the week to me, the Jacksonville Jaguars. AEW wrestling style, the Indianapolis Colts haven't won in Jacksonville since 2014. They're 0-7 straight up, and ATS, their last 7 trips to Northern Florida. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars +3.5 points. Give me the Miami Dolphins +3.5 points. Well, everybody bitches and talks about Tua. All they do is win football games. All this whining, I would have thought that they actually lost. And they're like, oh, can you believe Tua said that he has a hard time seeing? Yeah, shocking that a smaller guy has a hard time seeing. And the sky is blue, jackass. Give me the Dolphins +3.5. Give me the Seahawks +9.5. And Trey Lance can go back to the strip club after the game. Rob Vino, next. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Gabriel Morenci, Sirius XM channel 159, I'm out here 1090 ESPN radio. Let's do this thing. Let's send it to the city of brotherly love. Rob Vino steps up and in. RobVinoSports.com, WagerTalk.com. Rob, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, always a pleasure here on Friday night. Gabe, big card ahead of us this weekend.
There is a big card, and the pressure is starting to build despite the fact that it's this early in the college football season. And, you know, it wasn't supposed to be this way for Coach Freeman. It wasn't supposed to be this way for Coach Fisher to be in the hot seat as early as they are. Let's start off with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They're 0-2. You know, Freeman's 0-3, and I kind of feel bad for him that the bowl game gets tacked into this, right? And, you know, and they had to open up against Ohio State. So it's not as if though they've been losing to bad teams every week. But nevertheless, the Marshall loss was a disappointing loss. They lose their quarterback as well. So Drew Pine will start for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. It's 11.5 at FanDuel right now. What's your opinion on this game?
Yeah, I kind of like the team that everybody's down on it in this game, kind of like Notre Dame, Gabe. You know, interesting you mentioned the Ohio State contest because, I mean, two-thirds of the way through the third quarter, Notre Dame was right there with those guys, and nobody expected them to be anywhere near Ohio State. The money piled in on Ohio State all week long, and yet Notre Dame was right there. I don't know if you can excuse the Marshall game away just as a – you know, as a letdown for Notre Dame. You know, you can't excuse it away that easily, but they are a 21-point home favorite, game you're supposed to win, coming off a game where you leave it all on the field against Ohio State, the number two ranked team in the country at the time. And you just wonder if Notre Dame's heads were there as players. I mean, I get that that's the coach's job, but you're right. I feel a little bad for Freeman having it all pinned on him. I don't think he's going to go down this way, though, to tell you the truth. And for Notre Dame, I mean, if you're Marcus Freeman, in that locker room, what you're selling is one game at a time. You know, we've got BYU, we've got Clemson, USC on deck. All three at this point in time would look like huge, huge wins And they could be right back in it by the end of the season, but they do have to go one at a time. It starts here. I don't know that there's any difference between Buckner and Drew Pine, to tell you the truth. If you go back to what they did last year, they both throw 30-some-odd passes. Their quarterback ratings are like 142, 134. You can't really separate them much. The only thing Pine did better was he didn't throw picks. Buckner did. Buckner does bring the running element, but I don't know that it's that much of a downgrade, to tell you the truth. And California could be one of the most easiest teams to defense in all of college football. So Notre Dame, which has brought the defense to the party for the most part, unlike Marshall last week, which had weaponry in the backfield, a physical team, they had the ability to throw the football with Henry Columbia, a three-year starter between Utah State and Texas Tech. This Cal team just has nothing. In fact, their top running back, Christopher Brooks, winds up transferring out of there, and I think he runs for BYU now. I could see Notre Dame holding Cal to 13 or less and getting the offense untracked here, Michael Meyer and company. Thought the price was cheap, Gabe, so I'm on the team that really nobody is talking that highly of right now, but I would lay the 11.5 with Notre Dame.
Well, it's the best time to buy in. And as you mentioned, as you referenced, if you look at Notre Dame guys, yeah, they're 0-2 this year, but it's not that, it's not the defense's fault. Very impressive performance against Ohio State. They lose 21-10 in that football game. And last week, 26-21, a little bit deceptive. You had the pick six. You had a lot of short fields. It really wasn't the defense that let the team down last week. And to be honest, I was really having my eye. And, you know, what do you make of that? Is Cal that mediocre, or is UNLV a team to watch on the uptick right now?
It looked to me like, I mean, maybe it could be a combination of both, Gabe, but I would say this. You saw last week that there's a handful of coaches across the country that we could have gone to sleep in 2016 and woke up today, 2022, and Paul Christ, Jimbo Fisher, Justin Wilcox would still be running the same prehistoric offenses. So I just don't think Cal's very good. They need the talent at the skill positions. It's just not there. And they don't try real hard to score points. They don't try to push the ball down the field. They're just looking to run the ball and play defense, kind of like what San Diego State does as well. You could throw them into that mix. I don't think Cal's very good.
Rob Vino kicking it with us. I am Gabriel Morenci on the Friday Night Freak Show. It's been a very interesting start to this season, to say the least, as we saw tonight with Wyoming and Air Force. It's like, I don't know, it just is what it is. I guess 2022 is going to be the year of the upset, so you can never really write any team off fully. But let's get into Purdue and Syracuse, a game that's kind of flying under the radar right now, and maybe Syracuse are flying under the radar. An impressive win against the Louisville Cardinal in week one. And, you know, I think that surprised a lot of people, and it raised my eyebrows. Well, that was an impressive win. They handled their business last week against UConn, a 48-14 win. But I got to tell you what, the Syracuse quarterback is pretty good, and this offense is clicking for real right now. And you've got Purdue rolling in here, and you look at Purdue, I thought they played pretty well against Penn State. You know, you take away the play late here, late there, and they win that football game. They hang up 56 on Indiana State last week. Should this be a track meet? Are you expecting a track meet? And what are your thoughts on the Boilers and the Cuse?
Yeah, I am expecting a track meet, Gabe. And I think the matchup set it up that way. Let me just start with Syracuse real quick. And Garrett Schrader, a kid who started at Mississippi State with Mike Leach and then wound up transferring here last year. But, you know, with Syracuse, I'm a big fan of certain coordinators across the country. And Robert Anai has to be one of my favorite offensive coordinators. You know, here's a guy, Gabe, that's so well-versed in not just spread offense, but both forms of spread offense, right? He coached he assisted Rich Rodriguez in a run-oriented spread system, and he assisted Mike Leach in the air raid system, so he's adaptable. You saw it at Virginia. He comes from Virginia after Bronco Mendenhall retired. He comes up here to Syracuse. Syracuse thought they had the answer when they hired Sterling Gilbert, who was with Dino Babers prior to Syracuse. They brought him back. They thought he could get the offense fixed. He couldn't. In steps Robert Anai, and automatically he molds the talent to where they're best. And right now what you're seeing is a offense where quarterback-designed runs are involved because Garrett Schrader's a runner. He's passed off of that. Sean Tucker, one of the best backs in the country. and here goes Syracuse's offense. Purdue's defense isn't that good. Lost a lot of good defensive talent last year. So I think they'll be able to move the football into Carrier Dome. That being said, Syracuse is untested against an aired-out offense like this with Aiden McConnell at quarterback, a kid who really is an extension of Jeff Brohm on the field, always finds the open receiver, comes to the line of scrimmage, knows where the ball's supposed to go. And for Syracuse last week, you played a true freshman quarterback for UConn because UConn's number one was knocked out for the season. And prior to that, you played Malik Cunningham and Louisville, who looked absolutely miserable in the first week, didn't look much better the second week. And then tonight, Cunningham a little bit better, but not quite what we expected from him. So I don't know that Syracuse is tested. I think Purdue moves it. I think Syracuse moves it. I thought 60 was too short. So I like over the total.
I like over the total here as well. We're coming up against a break here shortly, but I know, you know, you're not giving it as a pick, but any opinion on the side of this Purdue and Syracuse game, or is this just a sort of toss up whoever has the ball last wins type game?
Yeah, I kind of like the Purdue side, to tell you the truth. I thought that the game they played against Penn State, they probably should have won. They didn't. That was at home. This is on the road in front of a tough crowd. I could see, you know, folks liking Syracuse here, but I think I like the Purdue side. I think they're just a bit more well-rounded.
Rob Avino kicking with us. I am Gabriel Morenci. A lot of interesting totals. Rob loves to bet the overs, as do I, and I like to stay in my lane because when I veer out of my lane, I usually get into an accident. So I'm going to stay in my lane as far as the totals are concerned, and I look forward to Rob's take on a couple of plays that I already put in, including the Kansas Jayhawks and the Houston Cougars to go over the number. And yes, I'm part of the public that is buying in at Fresno and the USC Trojans are going to get into the 80s. More with Rob Vino on the other side. The Late Night Anchor Matchbook Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Countdown to kickoff is on. Football is back, baby. We're talking college football right now with Rob Vino from WagerTalk.com, RobVinoSports.com. But I want to get into some NFL as well. But Rob, the temperature is starting to rise across the country right now on a lot of coaches and a lot of programs that didn't think they'd be dealing with problems in mid-September, but here we are. And yeah, you can say, well, Coach Halley just took over this program. But you know, this is Baton Rouge. This is the LSU Tigers. Patience will only go so far. In a big game against Mississippi State here, who got it done in the desert last week. Interesting to see. It's not often you'll see the LSU Tigers as home underdogs, and let alone to Mississippi State.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe it's justified, Gabe, at this point in time at least. We'll see what LSU does. I mean, they scrambled in that opener against Florida State. They scored three touchdowns on their last three drives and then had an extra point blocked. Otherwise, we would have seen overtime in that game. So maybe coming around a little bit, you can't take too much out of last week's game against the FCS opponent. But I'll say this, LSU hasn't found a way to defend Mississippi State since Mike Leach hit the SEC. I mean, remember back, it was Leach's very first game in the SEC. When he took over, Dan Mullen's kind of, power spread offense turned it into an air raid, had K.J. Costello as his quarterback. But lucky for him, Bo Pelini was the defensive coordinator on the other side. And Mississippi State goes out and sets a record in their first ever game in the air raid, 623 yards in two meetings against this team. They picked up 994 yards passing, and Will Rogers only gets better by the year. This is his third season running it. Heading into last week's game, he was completing like 79% of his passes. They did well against Arizona again. I could see Mississippi State moving the football up and down. It's interesting to note, too, Gabe, that with this air raid system, they're winning time of possession 41 minutes, 11 seconds, 36 minutes, 57 seconds in their first two games. That's a lot of time of possession for MSU. LSU, on the other hand, big news that they get their top running back, John Emery, back for this game. That helps the over. I think Boutte, who was kind of missing in week one, right? But then in week two, last week, he comes back and gets five catches. Seems like he's picking it up a little bit. I see the LSU offense moving the ball here as well. So when you look at a number like this, 53, with two teams that have explosive weapons like these two do, it just in modern-day college football looks a little shy to me. I think this game's going over. We'll see plenty of plays, plenty of possessions, because Leach wouldn't have it any other way. And, of course, when you're betting over, you need the possessions. So I like over 53, 53.5. Obviously, you want to get the best number.
I'll ride or die with you on that one as well. What's your take on the Kansas-Houston game? Should Houston be on upset alert? Can Kansas keep doing this and go back-to-back after they went into West Virginia and won in the fashion they did last week? And I like the total, Rob. I've already got my play in. And, you know, it's sort of hovering. It's 58.5 right now. I got in at 50. I got in at 58. So I didn't get the best number of the week, but I did get in at 58. What's your take on that one?
Well, it's a tough situation for Houston, right? They play two in-state schools back-to-back. They go triple overtime and double overtime and now go play Kansas, another non-conference game. That's difficult to see if Holgorsen's team, as far as winning the game is concerned or covering the point spread is concerned. It's a good situational play for Kansas, which is fired up. Personally, I hope they get the win. I have over 2.5 season wins for Kansas. Get one here. Please hit that one pretty soon. But Houston's still going to score, right? Kansas showed us last week against West Virginia that they don't play much defense. They're all about offense right now. The offense is clicking. They've done a great job reversing that program that quickly, right? The staff from Buffalo came in. They had a lot of turnover in personnel, but it's looking good right now. I think Kansas as a dog here has to be a live look. Just because Houston's in the situation it's in, like I say, back-to-backs against in-state teams, triple and double overtime. And I'm with you. I think you have to, at least at this point in time, you have to expect points because we know what to expect out of both of these offenses. So unless, you know, something drastic happens, I thought the number was kind of low. I would look over. I would look Kansas.
Rob Vino kicking with us. I am Gabriel Morency. Rob, San Diego State Aztecs head into the mountains to take on the Utah Utes here. It's basically three touchdowns. You know, it's hard to, I don't really know what to make of this SDSU team. So they got punched in the mouth in a Snapdragon Stadium opener. They win 38-7 last week against Idaho State. And now you got the Utah Utes, similar situation, right? They lost that big game to start the season. They got back on track against Southern Utah. What's your take on this game? Is it too many points, in your opinion?
In most instances, with San Diego State and the nature, the philosophy that they use, you would say yes, right? They're all about defense. They're all about clock control. And you wouldn't think there's enough possessions in a game for Utah to win by more than 21. And after seeing the way Wyoming sort of stumbled through game one, had a good game against an FCS in game two, and then took care of a Air Force team that was 16.5-point favorite, you wonder. The difference here is San Diego State has to go on the road, and Utah will be sitting there with revenge from a triple overtime game last year. And remember, in that game, Charlie Brewer was actually the starting quarterback at the time for Utah. Cam Rising came in, led the fourth quarter charge. They rallied from 24-10, tie the game, lose in overtime. There's no doubt Utah is clearly the better team here. The question, of course, the point spread, the great equalizer, and they win by more than 21. What I look at here, Gabe, is the fact that, first of all, I don't like Braxton Burmeister. He's been at Virginia Tech. Now he's here. He's not really that good of a throwing quarterback, and I think the 85 yards per game that San Diego State averages through the air could be troublesome here against Utah, because if you can't throw it, Utah is going to be pretty good at the line of scrimmage to close you down. So how many points can you expect out of San Diego State in this game? That's the big question here that you got to answer before you pick a side. I'd probably lean Utah because I think they're explosive enough. They probably should have beat Florida. They had 302 yards on four second-half drives against the Florida Gators. Got stoned at the one and then got picked in the end zone at the end of the game. Otherwise, they would have won that one. I'm not high on the game either way, just because San Diego State plays the way that they do. And I'm a little bit scared after watching Wyoming's resurgence here in week three. But I think I would lean Utah still.
Rob, let's get into some National League football action. The Detroit Lions are favored for the first time in 2 years. I mean, yeah, exactly. They're a great covering team. They've covered 12 of their last 18 football games, 11 last year, 11-6, and then they covered week one against the Philadelphia Eagles. But it's hard to want to pull the trigger on them when they need to win the football game. Although this is a game that I also think there's going to be points in. I like the over of this game. And, you know, you've got some interesting matchups this week, in which, sort of as we were talking about the same theme of college, in which the hot seat is really going to heat up if teams don't get in the win column. What are your thoughts on week two of the National Football League, and what catches your eye?
Well, certainly the overreactions to a bunch of these teams and good teams are what you look out for in week two, right? San Francisco loses to the Bears. Green Bay loses. Dallas. I mean, look at the reaction in the Dallas game. 8-point move because of the quarterback situation. And it's not like Cooper Rush hasn't been asked to do what he's asked to do this week before. I mean, he has been asked to do this before. The coaching staff is fine with him. The personnel is fine with him. I'll say this, Gabe, about the Dallas situation first. In the NFL and college football, I don't know how you feel about this, but for years I've kind of had the philosophy that home games are such a premium that if you blow one, and you come right back the next week and play at home again, generally that's where my eye goes first, and especially if you were a home favorite the week before and you got beat. Now, Dallas was a 2.5-point dog. I get it, to Tampa Bay, but that game was fairly even, and a lot of people thought Dallas could win that contest. They didn't. You have to win these home games, so I think they'll put up a real good effort here. I don't agree with 8 points worth of movement against Cincinnati. And if we look beyond Prescott for a minute and his absence, Joe Burrow got hit a bunch last week by Pittsburgh, and especially T.J. Watt, who left the game with an injury. But now he's going to have to face Micah Parsons in that pass rush. Dallas on defense alone might be able to stick within 7 points at home. So I think maybe there's an overreaction there. San Francisco's a tough deal because we don't know the situation with the injury to Kittle yet, but San Francisco might get back on track. And with Green Bay, the same thing. Two tackles still in doubt. Alan Lazard, a much-needed receiver for Aaron Rodgers, still in doubt. Until I know a lot about the injury report, it's tough to pull the trigger on Green Bay as well.
One thing I'll note about Green Bay, last year they opened up the season and they got blasted by the New Orleans Saints. I know different roster, but they got blasted by the Saints, and they went home and they beat the Lions. So I wonder if history will repeat itself now going home. And that was a primetime game too. I think it was a Monday nighter. I wonder if history repeats itself and they go back home and they beat the Chicago Bears. Time always flies when Rob Vino kicks it with us. If you need more wine, follow him, robvinosports.com, wagertalk.com, Rob Vino on Twitter. Rob, it's always a pleasure, my man. Enjoy the games. Best of luck this week, and may the winners be yours.
Hey, Gabe, thanks for having me. Have a good weekend, buddy. I'll talk to you next Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. We're 5 minutes from the bounce. Say what? We're 5 minutes from the bounce. That's right. AFL football, which we cover on a weekly basis with our boy Mick Aussie. I got to be honest with you. I haven't been as dialed in as I have been in past years this year, but I'm fired up. The Geelong Cats are awaiting already. They're into the final, and now we've got Collingwood. taking on the Sydney Swans. Now, you know, betting on AFL is interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. As far as the point spreads are concerned, it's very similar to NFL football. There's point spreads. So an example is Sydney are 16.5-point favorites. They're 16.5-point favorites over Collingwood. The money line is -250. Yet, what's interesting, you can bet winning margin in the NFL as well. But so winning margin, 1-39. So it's a pretty big window that you have. 1 point to 39 points. And it's -105 for Sydney. So you're like, wow, 1-40. And, you know, they could win by 50 or 60, but they probably don't. Right? I don't know. I think they're going to win around what the point spread is. So basically, look, the point spread is 16.5, and you get a bet in. The winning margin is Sydney, 1 to 39 points. So they win in between 1 and 39 points. You win your bet at -105. That's how we're approaching this semifinal matchup right now for the grand finale, which is like their Super Bowl. And it should be on television if, you know, you're a sports bettor, you're listening to us right now, most likely, you know, you're a sports bettor and you've got access to this stuff. But I'm watching it right now, and it's a big deal. It's a beautiful stadium. Like, they've got, like, modern, obviously, it's Australia, right? So they've got really nice stadiums in Australia, but this stadium's, like, really cool. It's, like, old-school style. It's, like, looks like Churchill Downs, but it's like part new, part old. Like, it really, really, this is the, what do they call this? The MGG or something like that. I think that's where it is. Beautiful, like, beautiful shot. We're watching it live right now. So, yeah, Sydney and Collingwood. What's the total of this game? 162.5. All right, 162.5. Let's just check in here right now. So we played the 1-39, and I want to pull the trigger. I'm going to pull the trigger on, I already played Sydney 1-39. I feel like getting reckless. I didn't have a great night tonight. I went pretty big on Louisville, and they lost in the last couple of minutes. It was frustrating. I like to get it back because that's what professionals do. They chase in the middle of the night on Australian championship games. Playing the Australian national anthem now. Should we be talking? Who the hell is this guy? Hugh Sheridan. Some dude's out here right now about to sing the anthem and stuff. So, listen, when Sydney beat Melbourne, and Melbourne were the best team in the league. The Demons were the best team in the league this year. Sydney beat them 91-69, so that would be an under. Sydney generally played unders. I would expect, you know, if you look at their scores, 88-74, 91-69, 77-50. Right? Like, they've tightened up here in the playoffs. These games are tougher. So, normally, I like to bet the over in this AFL stuff, but if anything, I would bet the under, and I'm tempted to do it, but I always lose when I bet on unders, and I always say I'm never betting on an under again. All right, let's put a parlay together here, though. So I already got them 1-39. Just in case somehow they smoke them, which I don't really think they will, but they beat Melbourne 91-69, who are the best team. It's just winning by 40 points is a lot, man. Like, winning by 40 points is a lot. Are they really just going to smoke them by this much? I don't think so. But I like that, you know, I guess. I almost want to put the 1-39 in a parlay instead of the -250 on the money line. But let's get a head start on some college football here. So we got the 1-39. I put 150 on it. Now let's get some college football. And let's put a parlay together here. All right, early games. This is for Sooner Lisa and Erica. Let's go with Oklahoma on the money line. So already we're down to one. What is this? My screen is cracked. I can never tell if it's a 3 or a 9. I got to deal with this cracked screen thing this weekend. 134. I don't care about my phone too much, but betting is a problem. I'm having a hard time reading the numbers. All right, Oklahoma's going to win, so we're down to 134. But let's get this going here. Let's add something else. Notre Dame versus Cal. They're going to win that game. All right, suddenly we're into +113 range. It's not bad, actually, but let's just tag one more in here. All right, Houston and Kansas, that's kind of a sweat job. That's going to be a track meet sweat job. There's no real other like slam dunk. Like, yeah, I want to put this in the parlay. Like, who's not losing for sure? The USC. Even that game's going to be, that's going to be a trickier game than people think, but they're going to win. All right, so Sydney Swans, Oklahoma Sooners, Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and the USC Trojans. It's the Blue Blood Special. Four-team bank. Sydney Swans, Oklahoma Sooners, Notre Dame Fighting Irish, USC Trojans, plus 161. It's not bad. What does 150 pay on this? I really, the screen is cracked in the exact spot where I really shouldn't be. All right, $150 gets back $392.12 on that parlay. So Sydney wins tonight. We get a head start. We'll have Oklahoma, Notre Dame, USC, Moneyline parlay tomorrow for $392. Plus 161. That's what it is. It's plus 161. And it's in, and we're ready for the bounce, baby. And we can track the in-game here. We'll keep you up to date, and maybe we'll have an in-game total for you. So there's just a little Moneyline parlay to get the day going for tomorrow. But let's just get back to the NFL because we've been pretty college heavy, and I'll blast through my college picks before we're done here. All right, I'm going to go game by game here. Washington Commanders, Detroit Lions. I just can't trust the Detroit Lions as a favorite. They haven't been a favorite in 2 years, okay? Do they win the game? Maybe. I like the over in this football game. I bet that. I'm going to be betting this more. Washington, Detroit to go over 48. It's 48.5 now. And I will put the Detroit Lions in a recreational teaser just to get a piece of the game because it will be a close game. Whoever has the ball last wins this game. I'm telling you right now. Washington are either going to kick a 54-yard field goal or something and break Detroit's hearts, or Detroit will finally win a game victoriously, you know, by three or something. It'll be a close game either way. So I'm not going to mess with it. We can't bet on everything. I already have a million bets as it is. But give me the over in this football game. New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns, I don't care about this game. Pass. New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we're riding the history here. I also think that Tampa sort of had a scrimmage last week. This is going to be tougher for them than it was playing against Dallas. New Orleans offense is going to start to click more. You know, Michael Thomas really came alive in the second half. Jarvis Landry had a nice debut. Chris Olave only played one game. They've got something going on here. And Tampa are a very beat-up football team. They're kind of, you know, Tampa are sort of just a work in progress right now. We got, what is that? We got some points here? We got some points on the board early. 1 point. We've got one point. I was like, oh, is that an early goal? Is that an early goal? Is it? Yeah, 1-0. All right, so it's irrelevant. Okay, so I'm not going to be distracted by this. I'm going to look away. My bad. All right, so to clarify, we're taking the Detroit Lions and the Washington Commanders over the number. Put the Lions in teasers if you want. We're passing on the Jets and the Browns. I like the New Orleans Saints getting the 2.5 points, 7-1 ATS, last 8 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. New York football Giants and the Panthers is very similar to the Lions and the Commanders, right? Except I think the Giants are better than the Lions, and the fact of the matter is, Saquon Barkley was really dialed, you know, really, you know, if you got, all right, yeah, 7-0 now, there we go. We got our first goal. 7-0 for the Sydney Swans. We're off and running, guys. We gave it to you, and it's already minus 400 right now on the money line. There we go. Quick goal. So, it's a single, and then boom. So 7-0 right now for Sydney. Now I really will ignore this. Okay. Detroit Lions, Washington, over the number. New Orleans Saints, plus the 2.5, but honestly, we're going to buy a half a point and make it a nice plus 3. Carolina Panthers and the New York Giants. Give me the New York Giants on the money line. They're going to find a way. Barkley, Daniel Jones, Kadarius Toney. They've got something going on here at MetLife, and I think they keep it rolling. Very close football game, similar to the Detroit game. Safer to put the Giants in teasers, but I think Big Blue find a way to win this game. Minus 126 on the money line. New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers is a game that I sort of, you know, I know it's a toss-up, but at the same point in time, I don't understand why the Patriots are favorites here. Like, with this, oh, well, you know, Watt is out. So what? The Patriots blow. Right? Is everyone going to say this every week? Where, oh, the Patriots are going to win, and then after, well, Joe Judge and Matt Patricia and Mac Jones, oh, you know, they, you know. Well, yeah, we know this. We're going to say this before the game. Give me Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to put the Steelers in teasers, though, up to +9.5, right? You get the Steelers at +9.5. That's nice right there. Here's a nice teaser, 7-point teaser. Pittsburgh Steelers +9.5, Jacksonville Jaguars +10.5. But you won't even need a teaser for the Jaguars and the Colts. The Jags, man, they're 12-3-1 in their last 16 games against the Indianapolis Colts. The Jaguars kept the Colts out of the playoffs last year by beating them in the last game of the year. The Indianapolis Colts have not won in Jacksonville since 2014. I could go on, but I made my point. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars +3.5. Trevor Lawrence is starting to get better and better and better. He's starting to look the part of a number one pick. Now that he's got a real coach, who would have thunk it, right? Now he's been around Doug Peterson. They lost that game last week, but they were in it. It wasn't an easy spot to open up on the road. It's not like Jacksonville have any big-time home field advantage or anything like that, but the weather is their friend here, right? The weather is their friend. Matt Ryan isn't young. Last week they were in Houston, Texas. Humid as hell. They got to come back in the game. They come back and tie it. They really should have lost the game. The Colts just shouldn't be road favorites. Like, they've got issues. Like, it's a battle for them to win football games. They always start off the season slow, the Colts. And you think back. Every year, they're 1-4, 2-3, and it's always a panic. And, oh, they got to win a bunch of games. The same thing all the time. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars +3.5. Give me the Miami Dolphins +3.5. This one, I like messing with Baltimore because I respect them. But I think they're very evenly matched teams. And, you know, quite frankly, Miami have more talent. Now, to me, the question in this football game is really going to be, and it's not Tua that everyone always talks about. It's not Tua. The question is going to be McDaniel. This is McDaniel and the game plan. And, okay, let's see, you beat Belichick last week. But I think McDaniel's the real deal. I told you guys he's my coach of the year at 20-1 coming into the year. And they handed it to the Patriots last week. I think McDaniel have a game plan that can keep the Dolphins in this game. It's going to be a close football game. To me, this is whoever has the ball last wins type of deal, and I'm getting points, so give me the fish. Give me the fish. Falcons get 9.5 against the Rams. Here's a classic teaser here. You know, you take the Rams, you get them down to 2.5. I know our boy Matthias is going to the game, and he's... Do you really believe? I know you're optimistic about everything, Matthias. What's your final score prediction for this game? You taking the birds plus the points?
I'm thinking it's going to be 24-34. Rams win.
You should have said 34-24. Then you went backwards.
34-24. Rams win.
You went backwards. Well, it's 9.5 in FanDuel right now. It's just come down. It actually got as high as 11.5. Actually, it is down to 9. Oh my God, we got a fight! Like, even though these guys kill each other for real, like, they don't fight. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we got close to a real fight. They let it go. Wow, man, buddy! Like, buddy nearly just threw a guy into the stands. This game is on. Let's dance. Let's dance.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's 13-0 right now. 13-0. They missed. See, they even miss extra points in Australia as well. And now it's 20-0. They just scored again. See, it's a good thing we put this parlay in. I'm now worried about the 1-39 thing. They're murdering them. Come on, Magpies, Collingwood. Yeah, thank God we put the parlay in. See, we put 150 on the 1-39. I was like, all right, I'm going to put a parlay in just in case they smash them. And here we go. Yeah, they're getting smashed. Like, this is... Like I said, this is like a conference championship game. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, this is like their Super Bowl. Like, there's like 90,000 people. There's betting on it. There's, you know what I mean? It's the whole nine yards here. And it's like, dude, they played 6 minutes, and it's 19-0 already. What's the new end game right now? The new end, they're minus 37 and a half. And remember, we got to win from 1 to 39. They're 37. They opened, they closed. So money line, they closed at 250. We got that in on the parlay. They're minus 830 right now on the money line. Oh, God. Okay. Here, I tell you what. I can go over this and that, but don't forget me and Scotty Farrell are going to be on at 1 o'clock, breaking down all the NFL games from 1 to 4. And don't forget to join us at 1 o'clock Eastern. Here's our top five in the Super Contest. We're taking the Seattle Seahawks plus the points, the Packers minus the points, Jaguars plus the points, Saints plus the points, Miami Dolphins plus the points. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.